parents, it is a real joy, blessing, and honor, and a privilege to be able to be here another Monday afternoon. We are grateful for God's love toward us and having mercy upon us and saving us and giving us the free gift of eternal life. Salvation is a gift. Nobody merits it. Nobody deserves it. If we all got what we had coming, we'd all go to hell. I'm glad that Jesus took our place at Calvary, bearing our sins in his own body on the tree, the just for the unjust, the holy for the unholy, the righteous for the unrighteous. He's the one that mediated for us on our behalf, sacrificed himself and gave himself for us as rotten, wretched sinners. I have no problem realizing I was a sinner. I knew I had problems and that I was in sin, but the thought of going to church sort of troubled me and bothered me. It was my conscience, my guilty conscience, and I really run from, not to, the house of God. When somebody got around me, invited me to church, I was in sin, and knew I was in sin, but I didn't know exactly what I needed to do to get saved. I knew who Jesus was. I knew he was the Son of God, but I didn't know him as my personal Savior. All the difference in the world. Most folks know about him today, but they don't know him as their personal Savior. They just know about him. They believe, all right, he's the Son of God, but they've never believed that and received that into their own heart. Makes all the difference in the world. The Bible talks about whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, believing in him means receive him as one's personal Savior and dying your rotten self and repenting of your sin. True repentance means sorrowing after a godly sort, not a sorrowing of the thing of the world. That only brings forth death. When you sorrow after a godly sort, it works in repentance, not be repented of. When you really get ashamed of yourself, get tired of your rotten, sinful ways, and you ask God to have mercy upon you, a sinner, not tongue-in-cheek, but out of your heart. Out of the depth of your soul, and you cry out to God for mercy and forgiveness, then whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, that is for salvation and forgiveness of sin, shall be saved. And that happened to me, and I've never been the same since I got saved 41 wonderful years ago. What he done for me, he'll do for you. He's not a respected person. And the blood of Jesus Christ, the Bible said, God's own Son cleanses us from all sin. Thank God his blood is highly sufficient to cover you and cleanse you, sanctify you, and have you to be forgiven, and make you worthy to go to heaven when he comes back after his body, after his bride, after his church. He's coming back, I believe, real soon. He's coming. Nobody knows the day nor the hour. I don't know these about others, anybody else. Beloved, if they tell you do, they're either confused or they're one of the world's greatest liars. Beloved, nobody knows but the Heavenly Father. The one thing I know for sure, he's coming, and I believe real soon. Coming after his body, after his bride, after his church. We're not talking about church members. We're not talking about folk who's joined up in the church and put on the case of the do-betters and the feel-betters and do-goods and started giving the money and got baptized in the watery grave and made an effort to turn things around and do the right thing. And those things are well and fine and good if you got good intention, but they won't justify you. They won't save you. Beloved, you've got to see you're a sinner without hope and without help. Beloved, within yourself, you can't save yourself. You're not good enough to be qualified and justified to get to heaven. You're found guilty before God as a sinner. The Bible said we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one, but the Lord himself has laid the iniquity of us all upon him. And by his stripes only can you get healed. He's the healing balm, the chief physician, and he that knew no sin became sin, literally became sin. Although he never committed the sin, it would be impossible, beloved, for him to sin. He's God reincarnate in a human body. Although he was tempted in all points that we are, yet without sin, neither was a guile found in his mouth. He's God's lamb, God's spotless lamb, the lamb without spot, the lamb without blemish. And if he'd had a known sin and been a partaker of sin, beloved, he couldn't atone and settle sin debt. But he knew no sin, neither was a guile found in his mouth. But yet he became sin, meaning by that, beloved, he took our place, he took our sins, and put them in his own body, nailed them to his cross, taking away that curse. The Bible said, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. And he that knew no sin became sin for us and became a curse. He took our curse, took our punishment, took our blame, bearing our sins in his own body. The Bible said the just for the unjust, of course the holy for the unholy, and the righteous for the unrighteous. He died a substitute death. He is the great mediator now, thank God, between God and man, that man being Christ Jesus. He's on the right hand of the Father in heaven itself, on the real mercy seat, interceding for saints according to the will of God. He's a wonderful Savior. He's the only one who has the power, beloved, to save. The Bible says he's able to save to the uttermost. There's no restraint with the Lord to save by many or by few. Our God is well able to save. Beloved, he does save. He's continuing to save all that come to the God by him. He's the only name under heaven given among men, whereby all the world, beloved, must be saved. If you get to heaven, you'll have to experience the new birth. Jesus died the death of a sinner and took your blame, took your punishment, took your guilt, took your sin. The Bible said he was bruised by iniquities and the chastisement of peace was upon him. What we had coming, he took it, beloved, upon himself. And by his stripes, the beating, the bruising, the flogging, all they done to him, beloved, all that brutality, beloved, the Bible said his vices was marred more than the sons of men. Nobody's body, face has ever been disfigured like his was when they beat him. Beloved, they opened up his back. He said he was like a worm, and all of his bones said stare down. They beat the flesh and the meat off his bones. They beat him so bad, beloved, he was beyond comprehension. When he died on the cross and gave up the ghost, for he did, the Bible said his strength was dried up like a potsherd, and his tongue clayed to the root of his mouth. He could not even raise up his tongue, beloved. Then when he, right before he died, the Bible said his heart busted, and of course he exploded within him what little blood was left. Run out of him, it said, like wet wax when it's melting, like water run in the midst of his bowels, what little blood there was remaining, beloved, run out of him. He hemorrhaged in every place, all over his body, by the bruising, by the beating, by the slaughtering, beloved, he was a slaughtered lamb, the suffering servant. Beloved, he died in our place, dying for sinners such as myself. I've never got over it. I don't intend to get over it, beloved. I had forgotten what he done for me. And I'll say again, the song says, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I've learned to love him more and more. He's the one I'm looking for. He's the one I'm longing for every day. Thank God with Jesus is sweeter and better than the day before. Thank God, I'm glad he saved sinners. Paul said he was chief. And I'm in that category, beloved. I was a wretched, vile sinner. And should have went to hell. But I had somebody praying for me. Thank God. My mother got me in the presence of the Lord Jesus. God heard her prayer, beloved. And when time came for me to get saved, God gave me a place of repentance. I got ashamed of myself. I got tired of my rotten self. I gave up myself and asked God to have mercy upon me, a sinner. Not tongue in cheek, but out of my heart. My heart was doing all the speaking. Beloved, my mouth wasn't doing any speaking at that time when I was in his presence and bowed down, beloved, in total surrender and broken contrite. My heart was crying out for mercy and forgiveness of my sins. I called on him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. The psalmist said, this poor man, that includes me, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard his cry and delivered him out of all of his troubles. What a blessing it is to be saved. Beloved, I'm glad I know more than just about him. I know him personally. He's my personal Savior. The Bible said his Savior of all men. That means all the sinners, all the found guilty before God, all the sinners, all the shaped in iniquity and born in sin. All of us by birth are sinners, a fallen, depraved, Adamic nature in this wretched flesh. Brother, we're all sinners, said he's the Savior of all men. That's because he died for the sin of the world. Beloved, that certainly by no means justifies or qualifies you or makes you worthy to go to heaven by this, you believe that he died. You've got to have a personal experience in grace with him. He's got to get alive in you. He's got to transform you. He's got to quicken you. He's got to make you alive. He's a Savior of all men. They went on to say, and especially special to them that believe. That's those who really believed and received, not only just in mind, tongue, and cheek. Beloved, I believed it the first time I heard it as a little boy. It was something special about that name. That name brought conviction on my heart about my sins and about my soul. I knew there was something special, ever lovely, about that name. The name above all names. Thank God, the lovely name of Jesus. And then when I got it, he got past my mouth and past my mind, and I knew knowing who he was, and he got alive in my heart. It brought a transformation. It brought an operation. I had the operation of faith. God cut out that old heart of stone, that old depraved, horrible nature. It was inside me, that swine's nature, that dog's nature, that unclean nature. When I got saved, it took that nature out, put a new nature, divine nature. God in me, Christ in me, the hope of the Lord, put his blessed presence in me. And his presence can't get alive in you. You get saved, beloved, you get cleansed, and nothing can cleanse you from your sin but the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's own Son, cleanses us from all sin. It's the cleansing ingredient, beloved, the cleansing agent. It's going to bring salvation to your soul. Outside the shedding of the blood, there is no forgiveness, no remission for sin. His blood made the atonement, blood when he offered up himself. The Bible said that the priest of old, that is the Levitical priesthood, the high priest went in one time a year on the day of atonement, first of all with their own sin, then for the sins of the people. They had to make two times inside the holiest of holies. And of course, when Jesus died, he only had in one time through the veil, beloved, because he didn't know any sin. He brought himself as a sacrifice for the sin of the people, and God accepted his death at Calvary. And when he did, he died and gave up the ghost. The Bible said the veil back in Jerusalem, left from top to bottom, signifying that the way had finally been made in the holiest of holies by the new and the living way, which he, that's Jesus, has consecrated, thank God, for us through the veil. Hallelujah, what a wonderful Savior, beloved. God exalted him and gave him a name above every name. There is another name under heaven given among men, whereby all the world must be saved. Now, you don't have to believe what I'm saying. I hope that you will, but God's not going to make you. The gospel's free, beloved. He told me, free to receive, free to give. I make no charge, beloved. I'm pastor because I'm saved. I don't take any salary. I don't want any salary. I labor, I work for a living, and I love every moment of it, beloved. I don't charge anything for weddings or for funerals or anything. I do. I'm not doing that to be seen nor to make folk think well of me. I just will not have it. I don't need it. Let them give it to somebody else that needs it, beloved. I got all I need in Christ, and he's blessed me. I'm not rich by any means, beloved, but I'm not going in want either. He meets all my wants, all my needs, and fulfills all my desires, and I'm told that, thank God, perfectly satisfied. I don't need the world to satisfy me. I got satisfied when I got saved. Now, the world never could satisfy me before I got saved. That's why I continue to run after the pleasure of sin for season, but it never did satisfy me. It excited me, and it brought pleasure to my flesh, but it never satisfied me. When I got saved, thank God, I can absolutely positively say I found what I was looking for, and emptiness on the inside of me, that void, this feeling I have, that condemnation that I was living under. Beloved, when I got saved, all that was eradicated, all that was taken out of me, thank God, and he put something wonderful in me, put his divine presence, God in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory. And I have never, ever been the same since I got saved. The Bible said, therefore, if any person be in Christ, he's a new creature, old things pass away, all things become new to you when you get saved. And I promise you, when you get saved, I'm not talking about case of the new better than save your lips and your mind. I'm talking about a personal experience of grace. When it happens, you'll know it. It'll change you. If it don't change you, you're lacking, something's wrong with you. You need a real conversion. You need to be born again. Outside that, you're going to hell. And see, my time is just about gone. Write to us, pray for us. God bless you is our prayer in his name. Amen.